Okay, so last week, the third week on this sugya of what's the din when Rosh Hashanah comes out to be on Shabbos, the first mission of the fourth Perek Chof Tes Amud Beis. So the first week we learned the sugya, we learned the halacha that Chazal established that we don't blow shofar or shofar chalias for Shabbos, and we explained the reason because we're afraid that we could end up carrying the shofar on Shabbos. We explained the position of the Yerushalmi, which is a position that is dismissed by the Bavli, and that is that it is a mitzvah that even in Torah we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, because it says that Rosh Hashanah can also be a Yom Zichron to it. Then we only talk about the shofar. So the Bavli dismissed that because in Torah there is no reason not to blow the shofar. So why would the Torah call it a Yom Zichro and Truah? Nevertheless, we did point out that in our davening, we will refer to this Rosh Hashanah as a Yom Zichro and Truah. So this idea, even though the Bavli rejected it, it stuck. And the Netziv explains that we have an extra responsibility to discuss the Shofar, Zichro and Truah, to talk about the Shofar when we can't blow it. Then we also discussed the very first week, how do we explain that Chazal took away from us a shofar, which is so important? It's an important part of tefillah, a mitzvah once a year. It moves the Kodesh Baruch Hu from the kisei hadin to kisei rachamim. So we gave various explanations from the Sifrei Chasidim, the most compelling of which is that Shabbos is in of itself a day of expression of Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Shabbos, some of the Me'or V'Shemesh says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always B'midas HaRachamim, so therefore the Shofar is not as necessary. And then last week we learned the Gemara and we discussed the machlek and does blow. So when it's violating a din derabbanan, Chazal said not to blow. But are we fulfilling a mitzvah deraisa? As Rabbi Kiva Eger says, Chazal cannot uproot a deraisa. All they can do is tell us we are putting our derabbanan in place. And now, what am I going to do? Chazal said, don't blow. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, does blow. Do blow. No. So I said, I don't do anything. Shev al ta'ase. So I'm not in violation. I'm not actively committing a chait. So that's how Chazal are able to tell us not to blow shofar by putting us in a position where we have conflicting requirements. So when you have conflicting requirements, do nothing. So that would yield the result, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, but if a Jew does blow the shofar this coming Shabbos, so he would be in violation of a din derabbanan, but he would be fulfilling a mitzvah deraisa. And the Chelkas Yair says, impossible, it can't be that I would do something that Chazal would tell me to do, and it would be in fulfillment of mitzvah deraisa. So to explain the Chelkas Yoyev in line with the Chasam Sofer, that explains that when Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, he gave the Torah contingent on what Chazal will say later on, contingent on their explanation later on. And if Chazal later on explained the Torah in a way, or legislated the Torah in a certain way, that could even then have an impact on the way I will fill the mitzvah deraisa, because that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu said. Just like we have explicitly when it comes to Chol HaMoed and when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Kadosh Baruch Hu said Ve'inisem, and the Chazal now figure out how to do Ve'inisem, how to have a day of deprivation. Kadosh Baruch Hu said Chol HaMoed is a day of rest and a day of malach at the same time. Chazal have to figure out how we do that. with all mitzvahs, all the slaves, the sense of meaning to why the parish of Yisro, the parish of Matan Torah, opens up with the appointment of Dayanim. Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you need to have Dayanim. According to many of the Tanoim, that event took place after Matan Torah. And so why is it placed before Matan Torah? So it could be to highlight this idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah with the understanding that Chazal are going to interpret it, and even if it means that they will tell us at some time in the future to hold back from doing a mitzvah. So then now we're up to the next part of the sugya, and that is we'll discuss two historical events, one that the Gemara records, and the other that took place some 115 years ago. So the Gemara says in the widest line, Shecharav Beis HaMikdash, his skin, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, it's a reference to the Mishnah, Mishacharav Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So then what happens in Rosh Hashanah? The Mishnah says on Rosh Hashanah, Shechol Yis B'Shabbos, we would blow B'Mikdash, but now there's no Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, Sheyutoiken B'Chol Mokayim Sheyesh Boi Beis Din, that wherever there is a Beis Din, and some say that means a Beis Din of the same stature as the Beis Din of Yerushalayim, meaning that the Beis Din of Yerushalayim, after Churban Beis HaMikdash, then moved from Yerushalayim, moved to Yavne, moved to various towns, so then we would blow shofar in front of the Beis Din HaGadol, after Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara's first understanding was any place where there's a Beis Din. Does not have to be a Beis Din in the statue of Yerushalayim. Om Rabbi Lazar, Lehiskin Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, Ella B'Yavne Bilod. That Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai's takana was only for Yavne, only for a Beis Din on the statue of Yerushalayim. Okay. The all of the towns that were near Yavne came to Yavne to hear the shofar. So Rashi says, "Kol harvim shesvivois Yavne miskansim em lishmaya shia." In other words, Rabbi Yechon Zakkai was successful in creating in the minds of the people that Yavne was the new Yerushalayim. Tain the Yavne v'chachomel. That Rabbi Yechon Zakkai, when he asked Vespasian, when Vespasian asked him, what can I do for the Jewish people? Because Rabbi Yechon Zakkai impressed him. The new emperor, a doctor for Reb Tzadik, who had fasted so frequently in the siege of Yerushalayim, he was terribly sick. One was for the save the family of Reb Tzadik. He was part of the government, so to speak, and therefore being part of just the government, he was up for, I guess, give me the Chachamim of Yerushalayim and give me a place in Yavne for them to learn. And then the Gemara says they were called Kerem Yavne, they were called the Vineyard of Yavne, because the basin sat in a semicircle, and facing the basin were the Chachamim that were now sitting in place learning from the Chachmei Ador, waiting for the great sages, but they were being the up and coming. And as
nowhere except backwards, like on negative
one of the members of the Bezin was either absent or went to the Elam HaEmes and left this world, so then one of the Talmidim on the front row and then take his spot. So it's Keren B'Yavneh, because it looks like a vineyard. You see, we have a chance to travel to vineyards. Vineyards are probably the most organized of produce, and they, because the vines have to be held up, and they're held up by posts, and they're put in straight rows. So that was the call. Keren B'Yavneh, the vineyard of Yavneh, obviously.
Tiny Larry Fitzgerald.
It's also the production of this group. Gemara refers to Torah's Yena Shul Torah. Gemara refers to the Beis HaMedrash as a wine press. Who were the grapes of that vineyard that would be part of the wine press of the study of Torah? So then the Gemara says, and now the Gemara tells us a very important historical insight. That the Jews appreciated that Yavneh was the new Yerushalayim. That it worked. Rechem and Zakkai's approach to the Jews that Yerushalayim lives on in Yavneh works. Why? Because Jews knew that when Shabbos, Yerushalayim is going to be on Shabbos, you want to hear the shofar, you got to go to Yerushalayim. Got to go to Beis HaMikdash. And in presence, it happened. People would probably, even though it wasn't Aliyah LaRegel, it wasn't a mitzvah of Jews in Pesach, Sukkos, and Shavuos, but they made their business, they made their way to Yerushalayim. Why? Because they're going to hear the shofar, the mitzvah they raisa. So now there was no Beis HaMikdash. So there were no drushes, there were no speeches, there were no emails, there were no shiurim, nothing. People just Wisconsin. They came to Yavneh. Mara tells the story. Mara says, Amar Lemer B'Yachin Zakkai live Nei B'Seva.
I know it sounds stupid, but sometimes when you look, it makes you feel like, you know, like,
so in the group, in Yavneh, there was a group of, we call them the Moetzes. We call them the elder sages of the post-Churban Bayis Jewry. Niska, let's pull Shofar. They said to him, blow shofar.
What? Blow shofar. I was talking to Wilson.
You blow shofar in Yerushalayim.
Men have caveman fantasies about being with blow shofar? Thousands of women.
Yom Tov Shabbos, Shabbos, Chazal made a takoni, don't blow shofar. But Mikdash are you taking? Why do you blow on Beis HaMikdash? One reason is because Ein Shavus B'Mikdash. There is no, we don't have to worry about a person and carrying a shofar and mikdash because kainim's reasoning, because kainim they're on their toes, they're on their game. And if you're working in base of mikdash, you're not going to start thinking you're going to make a mistake of carrying the shofar. So there's no reason to have a shvus there. Or some say because shofar was so much like the chatzotzeres, so much like the flutes and the trumpets, that it became, it's hard for me to explain this, but it sort of melded in to the avoda of the mikdash, just like we blow shofar in the middle of davening, so to blow shofar in mikdash and meld it into the avoda of the mikdash. Some say, as Tosfos indicates, there had to be a place for shofar because the shofar is the, as we said before, that's one of the great protectors of the Jewish people. In fact, now it's good to mention this Gemara that is so much a part of what we're learning right now. And that's the Gemara and Daf says, I think, Tez Zayin Amid Beis. Gemara says, the Omer Rav Yitzchak, Tez Zayin Amid Beis, four lines from the top. Kol Shona Sherosha B'Tchilosa Mis Asheres B'Saifa. A year that's not so good at the beginning becomes a very, very rich year at the end. So Rashi, so if we take the Kipshutai, that would be good, be pretty good for us. It's a difficult year at the beginning. Mit Hashem, we'll have the bracha. Mis Asheris B'Saif will become a great year. Tov Shin Pei Aleph. Then Rashi says it means a year where Jews make themselves out to be poor and downtrodden. L'daber B'Technun B'Tfila. A year where we begin. Kiroshim, like people who need, in great need. So a year that begins in this way, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, what a gavaldige tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, and our tefillahs get answered. And then Rabbi Yitzchak says, he quotes a pasuk, the Omer of Yitzchak, it's further down. Kol Shana She'ein Toikin B'Tchilasa, a little bit further down, that any year where we don't blow shofar at the beginning of the year, let's get the exact lashon. So it's Meirin Olav B'Saifa. A year that we don't blow Shofar at the very beginning becomes a difficult year at the very end. Meirin Oisa B'Saifa. So what happened? Why didn't we blow Shofar at the beginning? So Rashi says, most Mefarshim say, because something happened. Who's that? Oh, okay. Sorry, I said it too far down. Two lines of Meirinus of Besayfa. My time of delay, ear of Satan, because we didn't confuse the Satan, we didn't chop the Satan. So therefore, the Satan works against us. So that is Meforshim assume that it was because that's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says Meforshim builds gedolos. Lav the mikla b'shabsa. It's not that it was a Shabbos like this year where the halach is you shouldn't blow Shofar. It was a Shabbos that something happened, the Shofar broke, the Baltic K didn't, he got sick, he didn't make whatever happened, they didn't blow Shofar. So that's not a good sinner. But the Ridvar writes, no, it means a Shabbos, so he didn't blow Shofar because a Yom Tov Shechol Liyos the Shabbos. So therefore, Tosva says, so therefore Chazal made sure that somebody would blow Shofar someplace, it would blow in Yerushalayim. So the Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai said to the neighbor, Seira Niska, let's blow Shofar. All the Jews are expecting it. This is the new Yerushalayim. Omalo, the Gedolim said, Nodoin. Not so poshut that we blow Shofar. The Nisid Rabbanan to blow Shofar. It's not Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim is Motor. It's not Yerushalayim, it's Yavne. Nodoin, let's sit down like a Beis Din and argue this out. What are they going to argue out? So Pashas, they're going to argue out what was the original Takon of Chazal? Was the original Takon of Chazal that there must be some place where they blow Shofar? Rabbi Yechman Zakkai says, there must be one place. Yerushalayim was the best candidate. Now, was Rabbi Yechon would argue that they didn't say Beis HaMikdash, they said the Beis Din in Beis HaMikdash. There was a Beis Din in Beis HaMikdash. The Lishkas HaGozes. So now the replacement for the Lishkas HaGozes is in Yavne. And the counter argument would be, it says B'Mikdash, are you talking? B'Mikdash. So how can you take the next step and say, no, it's B'Mikdash, it's the Beis Din in Mikdash. How can you say that part of Chazal's takana was that there must be one place with the blow shofar? So it'd go backwards and forwards. They would argue different proofs from other takanas, maybe different recollections. So that's what the B'nai B'Seira said. We got not ready to blow shofar. Might be Isid Rabbanon. Can I blow a shofar? But Isid Rabbanon, but in front of all these Jews. Yechon Zakkai said blow shofar. And the B'nai B'Seira, the other Gedolim said, let's figure it out. Let's tell the crowds we are trying to work this out. We're being down on it. And we'll figure it out. Eric.
Doesn't seem like the Mary Morris either. Mary Morris.
I mean, it's hard to know. It could be that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had intended. Could be. But hold on. We'll come back in a moment. Let's see what happens. And then we'll come back to that question. So, Omar Lahem Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai Livnei B'Seira Niska Omar Lahem Nodim. Omar Lahem Niska V'Achar Kach Nodim. He said, I'm not sure how he said it. I would say the crowds are waiting. I would say, I think this is the way the thing's going to go. Right? So let's blow shofar now. And then we'll discuss afterward. If we make a mistake, we made a mistake. We'll tell them. The Gemara in Erevin says that sometimes a Beis Din would have this kind of a quandary. So Gemara in Erevin says, if it's a Din De'Oraisa, then you have to figure it out first. If it might be Nisu De'Oraisa, you can say, do the Maisa, and then we'll figure it out. It could be a time-bounded mitzvah. They have to know now. So you have to make a decision. So if it's a Din De'Oraisa, then you abstain until you figure it out. A Din De'Rabbanan. So then Chazal say, then the Beis Din can take their best guess and work it out after. And if they have to announce that they made a mistake, they'll announce they made a mistake. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai would sound like, this is the interpretation of the Yom Teruah, one of the great Achronim on Rosh Hashanah. He says, that's the rule of the Gemara in Erevin. Niska v'yachar kach nodin. Okay? So they said, you talk it right. The din derabbanan. Blowing shofar Rosh Hashanah, if it's an Isur derabbanan. Nitaku. Okay. Oh, Malay. So then the B'nai B'Seira said, okay, so let's go to the B'nai B'Seira and work this out. Nodun. Oh, Malahem. Sir Yechim, like I said to him, Kvar Nishma Karen B'Yavnem. The plain word. That's why I spoke with Karen B'Yavnem. This is the first rabbi joke. Right? Kvar Nishma Karen B'Yavnem. They already blew the horn in Yavne. They already blew the shofar in Yavne. Ein Meshivin Li'achar Masa. And after the Beis Din did a Masa, after the Beis Din paskened, Rashi says, we won't look good. We're going to now discuss. We're right, we're wrong. So that's the that's what happened. It sounds like from the Gemara, that is how the Takana got established. It sounds like from the Gemara, right? Because Eric said, it doesn't sound like they had a practice in place. This was the practice. So now you understand the next line of the Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah is, what happened? Did they make a takana for Yavne alone? Or did they make a takana for every possible reason? So later on, when we left Yavne, it was a big machlokes. Of course it was a machlokes. Because they didn't know what halacha was set. What was the halacha set? We did a maisa, okay? Yavne got its tkiyas. End of story. Or was the Maisa corroborating the Svara of Rabbi Yochanan? The original Takana was where there's going to be a Beis Din, right? But the Kasha didn't have a stronger Kasha. What was Rabbi Yochanan, what was he doing over here? There were the B'nai B'Seira, the other Gedolim. And they conceded to him, they deferred to him because that's the Din. That's what the Yom Teruah says. That's the Din. So if the din is an adin de rabbanan, after the Beis Din, the Beis Din for some reason has pressure to make a decision now. All right, make a decision now. But adin de raisa, you can't do that. Adin de raisa, you have to pass the din first. Adin de rabbanan, the Gemara says, stakes are lower, so make passing if you have to, and then determine the din afterward. Kasha is, so if that's the case, how could Rabbi Yochanan turn around and say, we ready blew shofar? It would be a terrible, terrible ganai. So embarrassing. And we're now going to turn around and say, made a mistake. But that's the din. So the Yom Teruah is a gavaldig approach. The Yom Teruah says that the din is, there's a case of situation. In the case in Erevin, was a case of Erevin, whether a certain group could come together and make their Eruv. Rabbi Zilberstein, when he discusses the Gemara, he says a similar din would be if there is a question about whether certain places, Eretz Yisrael, Chutz Laaretz, you have to give Trumas and Maizus, and they measured incorrectly, whatever it is. So you have such an approach. So he said, the classic case of a Beis Din ruling and then figuring it out is, there's a certain din, the different ways of interpreting the din, and the Beis Din took a position on how to interpret the din. And now they reconsider and they figure there's another way. Somebody brought a proof that they didn't think about. Somebody was able to argue why the proof wasn't a good proof. So that's not so embarrassing. There was a machlokes. They, in modern language, they agreed to disagree, and they agreed to renegotiate and rediscuss it later on. And they said, this is a pending issue. We're not sure what the din's going to be. But the din de Rabbanan, if Yechem and Zakeh is a God of the door, we'll defer to him. But halacha is not halacha. We're going to have to discuss afterward. The Yom Teruah says, this is a different case. Here the case is whether the Beis Din, whether this particular Beis Din should make a new ruling of blowing shofar in Yavne. So here, the question is not going to be on the interpretation of a din. The question is going to be whether this Beis Din the legitimate authority to do it. Now, there was normally a discussion, halacha is an interpretation of the din. You can have different sides. Over here, the discussion is going to be whether this Beis Din is a legit Beis Din to make this rule. They're going to discuss whether this Beis Din is really the continuation of Yerushalayim or not. So to have a discussion about whether your Beis Din is legitimate or not, he said that, and then if they'd come out and say, the Beis Din overstepped its bounds. The Beis Din imagined a level of authority which they don't have. That's very, very embarrassing. In other words, Lou Yitzhuyer, I know nothing about American law, but Lou Yitzhuyer, also Canadian law, but Lou Yitzhuyer, a court would overstep its bounds. And a court would make a decision that really belongs in the Supreme Court. And the court comes out and they say, we're making this decision. And then they think, and they say, you know what? This is really beyond our authority. That we should not have touched this one, right? So that becomes embarrassing to the court. The court acted within its jurisdiction, and then they made a mistake in the interpretation of law. That happens all the time. That you have different ways of looking at things. But for a court to take a position which it gives itself a greater degree of responsibility and of authority and of wisdom, and then they have to say, we were out of our league over here. That's embarrassing. That's a ganai. So Yom Teruah says, that's why this case is different. That's why Rabbi Yechon turned around and said, we can't discuss this. So the neighbors say, I thought they're going to, this was open to the conversation. Rabbi Yechon and Zakeh said, so the Yom Teruah is saying that Rabbi Yechon and Zakeh knew this from the very beginning. And he, what's the word? He danced around them. Go ahead, Michael. The conversation, rather the discussion, could be. But the what I have difficulty with the Yom Teruah is because the way I understand that there was a real Malikus over here. The way I understood the Yom Teruah, the way I understood the Gemara, was that there was a discussion. This din, blowing shofar in Yerushalayim, what was the nature of the din? Was the nature of the din that there has to be a tekiah? was in age the din of the Beis Din in Beis HaMikdash, or was it Beis HaMikdash itself? So there was a machlekes din. So that's why I was not satisfied with this interpretation. There is a historical approach to this. The historical approach, which points out, these are the years after Churban Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yochanan's program was that Klal Yisrael needs to have continuations of Beis HaMikdash. Klal Yisrael needs to have, they don't have the Beis HaMikdash, whenever format of Beis HaMikdash they could hold on to, whatever part of the was discussed, whether why did Yechon say, leave Yerushalayim alone? Why did he tell Vespasian, give me Yavnus? The assumption is that Yechon, like I knew, he could not get Yerushalayim. It was off the table. So to ask for something that's off the table, you're going to get it. He figured, but if I ask for Yavna, I'll be able to save Klal Yisrael. And everybody always points out whenever they speak about it, and he did save Klal Yisrael. Because we were able to have Yavna, we had Chachamim, we had a basin, we had an authority, we had a central authority. He was proven correct by the facts later on. So if this is all correct, and then we throw into the mix that the Jews, Wisconsin, so that means that his program was successful, that he was successfully teaching Yavna is the replacement for Yerushalayim. V'hoyu kol om Wisconsin. So now, Rabbi Yochanan had a legitimate, the way I understand it, it was a machlokes in din. What was the original takana of Chazal? Was it Yerushalayim alone? Was it a central place for Klal Yisrael? Was it, as we described before, there was a legitimate machlokes? However, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said, in addition to all of that, there is the test of Yavna now. There is the Ilu Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael made a decision. Ilu Klal Yisrael made a decision, we are the new Yerushalayim. So Klal Yisrael passed this already. So maybe that's what he argued. Maybe argued that there's a lot to talk about, but more important for us right now is not that if we have a discussion right now, then the people all gathered to hear Shofar, what they're going to hear is the rabbis are discussing whether this is the new Yavna and Yerushalayim or not. They're going to figure it out. Right? The word will get out that everybody knows you blow in Yerushalayim. We're figuring out because it minimizes Yavna. Right? From that point on, it becomes, what was the din? How does it apply over here? But the understanding is, it's not Yerushalayim. We're going to figure out whether the original din was Beis Din or was Yerushalayim. Whether the original din, there has to be someplace. But one thing's clear to all the rabbis. This is not Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, we can't afford that to lose the moment. He said to the Gedolim, there's what to discuss. We can go backwards and forwards afterward, right? But one thing is sure, that if we have the conversation now, then we're going to lose my program of making this Yerushalayim. So let's blow Shofar. Afterward, we'll discuss. And if afterward we turned out to be incorrect, so the next time there'll be a Shabbos, a Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, so then we'll teach the halacha. We got time to prepare. We got time to prepare the Jews. We got time to build up the procedure of Yavne. Okay, they're maskim, right? They're maskim that the gain of having, of not disappointing the people and not undermining Yavne. So then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, if we even discuss it now, we're going to undermine Yavne. That was the discussion. The discussion was, we can't undermine Yavne. So if we have a din Torah right now, it'll get out. What's keeping the rabbis back now? Why do they seclude themselves? What's going on in this din? So the word will get out. They're discussing right, wrong. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, no, we were successful in establishing the covet of Yavne. we can't afford to lose the covenant of Yavne. So it's more of a historical approach, which one finds in the amongst the historians that is part of the event over here. Sam. A walled city. I think so, yeah. Yeah, so that's right. Well, no, because we would not allow blowing shofar. If you leave the shofar inside the shul, Yerushalayim was a Rishus Rabbim, the Raisa probably. Ilu Eininalu Shari Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim, one of the Svarim, one of the Rishus, maybe I forget who writes this, that the Beis HaMikdash was, Beis HaMikdash was always a Rishus Yochid. A city, walls come up, walls can come down, but the base of it was always a Rishus Yochid. But that wouldn't play over here. That still shouldn't play into this. Yeah. Oh, you're asking the next question. We'll come to that now. Okay, let's come to the next Nakuda. Okay, so that seems to be the, at least I think, one way to understand this event. Now the Gemara, let's go on the Gemara a little bit more, because we'll come back to another issue that's was once a pressing issue. The Gemara says, Omar quotes the Mishnah, Omar Ulozer lehiskin of Yechon Zakai, Elo be Yavne Bilvod. Omar Uloi, Echon Yavne, Echon Kolmokim, Sheyesh Boy Bezdin. The Omar Ulo, Hainu Tana Kama, Ika be now Be Dino Dakroi. Right? You look back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has that Hiskin Rav Yechon and Zakai, Shutoikin, Bechol Mokim, Sheyesh Boy Bezdin. Every place where there's a base, we blow shofar. Omer Elazar Lahiskin was only for Yavne, not for every place. Omer Loi, they said to him, and it sounds like a third position. Echad Yavne, Echad Kol Mokim, Sheish Bay Basin. So this third position is a repetition of the first position. The Gemara says, no, that this third position is saying, even if there's a temporary Basin, you're going to have a Basin for the blowing shofar, and that would also be accepted. Yerushalayim was greater than Yavne. Shekol ir shahi roye v'sheimas ukreva yechala lavoi toiken ubiyavne lohoi toiken el bebezin bilvad. That Yerushalayim, they would blow shofar not only in Yerushalayim but in all the areas around Yerushalayim, and in Yavne was only in front of the basin. If you look at the very last line of the Gemara. Amar Avuna, last line of Chav Tes Amud Beis. Amar Avuna, Tav Lamed Amud Aleph the Im Beis Din, and that is what had to blow together with the Beis Din. Always had to blow in front of the Beis Din. My Im Beis Din Bifnei Beis Din Lafuke. What's are you talking about? But oh, it's Zayis Hayisiv Shulam Yisrael Yavnem. It says that they would blow shofar in any area near Yerushalayim. Va'oid zois ilay mekidiktoni zois miboyale. If the Gemara has a further question. Va'oid zois means Yerushalayim is ahead of Yahweh in another way. What's the first way? Elud Yerushalayim toikin yechidin ubiyavnin toikin yechidin. Then in Yerushalayim, they would allow individuals to blow, not only the appointed Baal Tekeya in the Beis Din, but even in the, why would an individual want to blow? So the Mefarshim say, if he came late, if he missed the blowing. So he could blow on his own in Yerushalayim. The Gemara says that does not sit well with us. Why? He also Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef Omar, when Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef described Rosh Hashanah in Yavneh, and happened to be Rosh Hashanah on which a Shabbos occurred on Shabbos, he would describe Ki Mesayim Shlicha de Tzibura, when the Shliach Tzibur, the Baal Tekeya, finished blowing Shofar, V'yavne Leishama Inish Kol Unye. You couldn't hear a thing. You couldn't hear yourself. Mitoich Tekiya de Yechida. Because everybody took out the shofars and started blowing. And according to Tosfos, because so many people came late, that they blew shofars. So the scene was that you're in Yavne, the basin was convened, as I guess a momentous occasion, the only place you're going to hear shofar. And then after you heard the shofar, the shliach tzibur, then everybody took out their own shofar. Maybe they were afraid they were in Yotze. Maybe they're afraid they only did a tekiah, shvarm tekiah. Maybe it was too short. It was too long. Maybe it was, he had all his own chumras from Maril Diskin. In the great Rabbi Yerushalayim, they say he would exhaust his bali tekiah every Rosh Hashanah. He would go to shul, he'd hear tekiahs, and then he'd have his suda. And then for the rest of the afternoon, they would come and blow shofars. He wanted to hear different combinations, different chumras. And he would exhaust his bali tekeya, the next one, until he got all of the chumras he wanted to get. So for some reason, people took out their own shofars and started blowing. But that means that in Yerushalayim, there had to be at least two distinctions that distinguish Yerushalayim. So one candidate that people took out their own shofars. In fact, the Bnei Yeshua says, from here you see, that we apply the rule of mitzvah boy yosim v'shluchai even to shofar. That even to shofar we say, better hear your own tkiyas. And it's the chiddush, because Tosfos says to blow unnecessarily is also. Because it's, as we said, it's the din d'rabbanan. So when everyone blows, has to blow from a kind of mitzvah. You don't have to be bedaktik b'chud asayra. But you have to, it has to be the Tzorch Mitzvah. Some to blow, you're not allowed to do Rosh Hashanah. So the must, as Yeshua says, maybe he was talking Yekes, so he couldn't imagine that so many people came late. So it must be that they must have held, there was a mitzvah al-yachid to blow. Right? Now just point something out before I go back to the Gemara, because this is very fascinating. If you look, go back to the opening Mishnah. Yom Tov Shoshana Shechol Yoyis B'Shamas. B'Mikdash Hoyu Toikin. So Rashi says, "Ba mikdash, avolay b'mdina." The Gemara Mishnah says, "Loi b'Yerushalayim, b'loi b'gvulin." Ba mikdash, avolay b'mdina. The Rambam says, "Ba mikdash, avolay b'mdina" means in mikdash and not outside of Yerushalayim. B'mdina means outside of Yerushalayim. So, what about Yerushalayim itself? So the Rambam says Yerushalayim itself is included in mikdash. So, b'mikdash ayutoiken means they would blow in base of mikdash and in Yerushalayim. Avolay b'mdina, but not outside. All right, you have to re-understand a lot of things. Sam's question about haitzah falls off. It's just a mikdash, no longer a good raya. But Rashi says, loy b'Yerushalayim, they didn't blow in Yerushalayim. So the obvious question is, what do you mean they didn't blow in Yerushalayim? The end of the Mishnah says, Yerushalayim distinguished itself in several ways over Yavne. One way was that it wasn't only Yerushalayim, it was all the areas, it was by Begun and Ramot, all the areas that could see Yerushalayim. Right? That's a machlokes. Maybe that would, by Begun and Ramot would be offended if I said that. They would say, no, it means Hanof. Hanof would say, no, it means Tel Stone. Right? But Yerushalayim itself, and all of the areas around Yerushalayim, they would blow shofar. So how could Rashi say no in Yerushalayim? There's a question, maybe Yerushalayim, every yachid could blow. The Gemara dismisses it, but there some things distinguish Yerushalayim. So how could it be that Rashi says, loy Yerushalayim? So one answer is what Sam alluded to before, is that there were three stages. There was Yerushalayim when it was Bevinyana, when it was built. Then it was only in Mikdash. Then there was Yerushalayim after it was destroyed, but Yavne wasn't set up yet. So then there was another takana to blow in Yerushalayim, and that takana was Yerushalayim and all the precincts around Yerushalayim. And then there was the Maase Shehoya, when the Jews are ready, there wasn't much going on in Yerushalayim, and the Beis Din had now was firmly established in Yavne. The Kol Ha'om is Kansin, and you already see there's a migration. They're not migrating to Yerushalayim, they're migrating to Yavne. And then they had to make a decision. Are we going to blow or not blow? But there has to be this third stage. And the Rambam says, doesn't say that anyplace. We just created a new stage of history. Yavne after Churban, before Yavne. That's not what it sounds like in the Gemara and Gittin. Gemara sounds like Tainli Yavne v'chachomel. And then Vespasian raised Yerushalayim, they all left. So the Rambam learns Pshat in this in the Gemara here about Mikdash means Lav Davka Mikdash. He says, in the Parish of Mishnayos, he says, I've told you many times, but Mikdash does not mean only Mikdash. It means Yerushalayim also. So then the Mishnah reads very well that the original Takana was in Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. And then the Machlekes of the Chachamim later on was specifically Yerushalayim. Or was it the Batei Dinim, because they could blow in front of the Batei Dinim? So this issue came to a head. We say, Eric, go ahead. Yeah. So why do you say that? No, maybe. Right, yeah, because that's stage one. Right, that's stage one. So let's just explain to our Zoom chevrah here. So Eric is pointing out that Rashi clearly says the reason they blew shofar in Mikdash was Ein Shvus BaMikdash. So now, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, why should there be a second stage? And the way the Rambam reads it, there was stage one, Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai, right? So now, but in the way we explained it, there was stage one. There was Yerushalayim Bivinyona when it was fully functioning. And then they had to decide whether they're going to make Yavne the Hemshech of Yerushalayim. Okay? But now we have this. There's no in-between stage. But according to Rashi, how could there be an in-between stage? Because the reason to blow shofar in Mikdash because Ein Shvus BaMikdash. So that's what Tosfos says, that the Chachamim understood that there has to be a shofar for Klal Yisrael, because the Gemara in Daf Tezayin called Kol Shah She Ein Token Maybe She Ein Token Maybe Shaina Maybe. Now, just so we shouldn't get nervous, there are Sforim that point out that that's all when you only had one day of Rosh Hashanah. But we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So even though the second day of Rosh Hashanah is a Din Rabbanan, but that could be a Kiyum in the Yitzchak's observation that a year that there's no Shofar B'Tchilasa, we're blowing Shofar B'Tchilasa. Right? So we're blowing Shofar not the first day, second day, Sobel Chilasa. So let's just finish up that the second event happened in the early 1900s. And one of the great mavericks of Hungarian Jewry who moved to Yerushalayim was Akiva Yosef Schlesinger. He wrote the Lev Ivri. He lived in the late 1800s. And then he moved to Yerushalayim in the late 1800s. So he was an iconoclast and they call him a kanoi. He was a very passionate about his, and about his shitas. Most of our halachas of mechitza come from the Lev Ivri. Most of our appreciation of the mechitza comes from the Lev Ivri because he was fighting the battle in Hungary where the reform wanted to take away the mechitzas. So he developed in this sefer, the Lev Ivri is heavily related to the Tzavo of the Chassam Sefer. And he was of the Chassam Sefer's schooling. So he had to explain to us, where do you have mechitza in halacha, when you find it, he developed most of our understanding of mechitza. So when he came to Yerushalayim, he wanted to blow shofar on Rishon Shacholis B'Shabbos. Why? It was, I believe, there were certain pogroms going on in Russia, I think. And he felt it was Rosh Hashanah, what could be a very difficult year. And the Kiveyor says, if you blow shofar, it's an Issur d'Rabbanan, but you still make kind of mitzvah. And the Rambam writes, even in Yerushalayim, Chazal did not make their din. So he wanted to go into what we call the old city.
Yeah.
That's Yerushalayim. And blow shofar, because according to Rambam, there's no Issur to blow shofar there. And it'll be Mizaka Klal Yisrael. And it was a big tumult. And most of the Gedolei Yerushalayim said, you don't rock the boat. We keep the minhag. We don't do. We never pass into this Rambam. We're not going to pass into the Rambam. Akiva Yosef felt very strongly. Claudius only is a shofar. There are two important postscripts. Three important postscripts. Right, two. One was the Aderes. The Aderes was the elder sage of Yerushalayim. He was the Zokain. He was the Rabbi Rashi. No, he was the second. He was the assistant rabbi to Shmuel Salant, who was the Rabbi Rashi. Yerushalayim had the such giants at the turn of the century. So the Aderes was a cook's father-in-law. So so when the idea was presented to Rabbi Shmuel Salant, apparently he said, I don't know why this is a big tumult. And you can take them one of two ways. You can take it, why are you stirring the pot? Or you can take it, not a bad idea. Right? So he said, I know it's a big tumult, and he wasn't feeling well. And the Aderes, apparently, in his heart, he felt that Rav Kiya Shlazim was right, to blow Shafer. Rambam. And the postscript, the two postscripts, one is that later on, right before the Aderes was very, very old, there was a Shabbos Shacholiyos, a Rosh Hashanah for Shabbos. And when Rav Tukatsinsky came to him to discuss the Rosh Hashanah, so he said to Rav Tukatsinsky, I don't know if I'll ever be Zoyche to hear the Shofar Deiris again, because he didn't think he'd live another year. And he said, if Rav Akiva Yosef Shlazim was going to hear, I would follow him to hear his Shofar, because I'm not sure if I'll see hear another Shofar Deiris. The other postscript is that Rav Akiva Yosef Shlazer, that particular year, was a big discussion in advance, and the Rabbanim said, we're not blowing Shofar. And Rav Akiva Yosef Shlazer was nowhere to be found on that Rosh Hashanah morning. So I'm not sure what he did. Okay, you're Rav Akiva Yosef, and your grandson is Akiva Yosef. You have a grandson, Akiva Yosef. Yeah, that's how I remember.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.